Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute it's carbs are bad, and then the next it's, no, actually carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Bert to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Bert. Forhers.com/Bert. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
The Bert Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bert Show's entertainment buzz.
What I love about seeing a seasoned comedian in Hollywood host something like the Academy Awards is I know they're not going to be afraid to shake things up a little bit. Because, like, what do they have to lose? They got their retirement fund. They've already had a great career. All they want to do is make some headlines. So Conan O'Brien was the host of last night's Academy Awards. It was a 97th annual Oscars, and he took some shots at some people. The first person he took a shot at is actress Carla Sofia Gascon, because she had some pretty controversial tweets that came out earlier or late last year. And a lot of these had to do with controversial opinions on Muslims, George Floyd, and diversity at the Oscars. So she's been getting a lot of heat on social media. So he decided to make light of the situation and talk about how many F words her publicist might have been saying over the last year.
I loved it, Nora. I really did. Yeah. I loved it, Nora. Yeah. Yeah. True story. Little fact for you. Nora uses the F word 479 times. That's three more than the record set by Carla Sofia Gascon's publicist.
Ooh. He didn't hold punches last night.
Uh-huh. And he also came after everyone's favorite punching bag over the last year, Drake, when he said that once we've got to the halfway point, this is the time for Kendrick Lamar to come out.
Well, we're halfway through the show, which means it's time for Kendrick Lamar to come out and call Drake a pedophile. Don't worry, I'm lawyered up. Anyway.
My favorite is after, not when he does the joke, but when they pan to the crowd to see their faces, because there are some that want to laugh but don't think they should laugh, and then they just, they feel like they're put in this uncomfortable position because they're like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do because I don't know how the world's going to come at me when they see how I react to this joke.
Well, it's tough because Drake is huge in the industry, so it's like, do you risk getting caught laughing on camera and then Drake sees it and immediately you burn that bridge?
Plus, you know how sensitive he is, because he's take notes and then he'll come out and fire at you. I know he's somewhere in life thinking, can I just watch anything without getting jabbed at?
Can't even watch the Oscars, man.
Can't even watch the Oscars.
I'm sure he's doing just fine in that mansion of his.
The lawyered up part of the joke was even funnier.
But he didn't stop there with the jokes. In fact, he actually gave himself a break to allow some of the firefighters that were, of course, battling all the wildfires out in LA a chance to take some shots at actresses, actors, and the entertainment industry in general.
These are heroes. Yes, take it away, LAFD Captain Eric Scott.
Well, our hearts go out to all of those who have lost their homes. And I'm talking about the producers of Joker 2.
Next up, Los Angeles Fire Department pilot Jonath Johnson.
To play Bob Dylan, Timothée Chalamet learned how to sing. In fact, his singing was so good, he almost lost the part.
And finally, Pasadena Fire Department Captain Jody Slicker.
It's great to be back with Conan. Usually when he calls, he's stuck in a tree.
Okay.
Oh, it was good. And Kieran Culkin has been making some headlines with his very sweet story that he told when he won the award for Best Supporting Actor. And I was sitting there next to Rebecca just giggling because I am looking at his wife, who's stunning, by the way. And he tells the story about how he's trying to bribe his wife to give him more kids with the more awards he wins.
About a year ago, I was on a stage like this, and I very stupidly, publicly said that I want a third kid from her because she said if I won the award, she would give me the kid. It turns out she said that because she didn't think I was going to win. But after, and people came up to her and were like, you know, really annoying her. I think it got to her. But anyway, after the show, we're walking through a parking lot. She's holding the Emmy. We're trying to find our car. Emily, you were there, so you're a witness. And she goes, oh, God, I did say that. I guess I owe you a third kid. And I turned to her and I said, really, I want four. And she turned to me. I swear to God, this happened. It was just over a year ago. She said, I will give you four when you win an Oscar. I held my hand out. She shook it, and I have not brought it up once until just now. You remember that, honey? You do? Okay. Then I just have this to say to you, Jazz. Love of my life, ye of little faith. No pressure. I love you. I'm really sorry I did this again. And let's get cracking on those kids. What do you say?
That was hands down one of my favorite speeches of the night.
It was so good. And you know what the most surprising thing about that speech was to me? Was picturing them at the Emmys walking to their car. I don't know why. I just thought everyone Ubered. You know? Yeah, no. You got to limo.
You got to limo at that point.
Yeah. All right. Adrian Brody and Halle Berry recreated an iconic moment from the 2003 Oscars last night. I'm going to tell you all about it on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
Okay. Can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute, it's carbs are bad, and then the next, it's, no, actually, carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Burt. forhers.com/Burt. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
The Burt Show.
All right, so she is dealing with some major neighborhood mama drama and wants to know from you guys how to deal with it. So as you're listening, if you have any advice from her, 1-855-BIRCHO, 855-237-8746. But first things first, we got to get the deets. Hey, Kelly, welcome to the Burt Show.
Hi, thank you.
Hey, no, thank you for reaching out to us and wanting to come on. So go ahead and break down to everybody this mama drama that you have going on in your neighborhood. Because I know, like, your neighborhood and your home is supposed to be your safe place. So when there's drama going on and you're uneasy, it can make life unbearable.
It's true. I live in a really tight-knit neighborhood. And everyone is really friendly. You know, we watch out for each other's kids all the time. And that is until Samantha moved in last year. I really tried to welcome her. But she is a lot. She's one of those moms who thinks that, you know, her way is the only way. And last week she crossed the line.
And crossed the line how?
Well, this past Friday, a bunch of the kids were playing at the park, and my 10-year-old Lucas was out there, too, and he is definitely, a shy kid. He kind of takes his time to warm up, but he was actually having a good time, and then all of a sudden, Samantha, without asking me, starts telling him how he should be playing. She literally took the ball that he had out of his hands and started coaching him on how to throw it. And after a while, he got overwhelmed and he walked away. And instead of backing off, she follows him.
Okay,
now
he starts
saying things like, oh, come on, don't be a quitter. You'll never get better if you just walk away. I mean, who does that to someone else's kid?
So it does sound, hold on 1 second. So we can just kind of interact with you as you're telling the story. So if you guys had a kid and they're out there and they're playing, and somebody comes in and says, hey, here's a proper way to throw a ball. I personally wouldn't have an issue with that, if, especially if there's somebody that played softball or played baseball and you have a couple of useful tips. I'm okay with that. But it feels like at some point she crossed the line. You guys agree?
I would say that's the context. Like, that's the thing that's not being said. But if you were there in the moment, maybe it just felt off, or it felt a little bit too much like being a helicopter non-parent.
It would depend on the intent for me. It would be easier if I saw it. Because if I took it as they were genuinely trying to help and just trying to give my kids some advice that they felt like they had, then I wouldn't feel a way. But if it came from a place of you were trying to be condescending towards my kid, I would have an issue with it.
Yeah, calling your kid a quitter, that crosses the line. Especially sure. at the age of 10. All right. So Kelly, so are you witnessing any of this, or is this like hearsay coming from kids or somebody else that saw it?
I mean, my son came home upset.
Gotcha. All right.
And he was saying he didn't want to play at the park anymore.
Aw. So she made him feel so uncomfortable that now the park can't even be a safe space for him because she... I don't want to use the word bully because it doesn't feel like it's bullying, but she definitely overstepped her boundaries.
Yeah.
Okay, so Lucas comes home and tells you this. What was your step as a mom? Because I'm sure you were infuriated that somebody, an adult especially, made your kid feel this way.
I was, and I just texted her a simple thing of, you know, hey, I'd appreciate it if you just let Lucas do his own thing. And then she replied, well, maybe if you pushed him a little, he wouldn't be so soft.
Oh, those fighting words.
Uh-huh. And so again, remind me, Samantha moved in how long ago?
Last year.
We would have to have a serious one-on-one conversation. Yeah. She's going entirely too far.
I think this is the perfect example of it's not necessarily what you say, but how you say it. And I'm getting the vibe. I'm just going to take a gander here. This woman's kind of aggressive, maybe a little rough around the edges. And kids are very sensitive. When you give them criticism, even though if you think it's constructive, they haven't built up that thick skin yet to be able to take it.
All right, so she texted you back, maybe if you pushed him a little, he wouldn't be so soft. I'm wondering, did you respond back to her, or did you just remove yourself from the conversation?
I have not responded back yet, but that's not all she's done.
What does she do?
The next morning she posts a Facebook status, like a vague book about, you know, overprotective moms raising kids who can't handle a little constructive feedback. Like, she wasn't even trying to hide it.
And so, you know, it was directly vague booking drives me crazy. But you know that was targeted at you and Lucas.
I mean, I think so. Why? That's odd timing, I think. So I have not responded to that, but it is definitely awkward now. And I'm just, you know, am I crazy here? Because to me, this feels like a huge boundary issue.
Okay, so Kelly, hang tight. We have Lisa on line one, and she wants to try to give you some advice. Hey, Lisa, so you know this type of mom?
Oh, yeah, like big time, my sister.
You definitely know her then.
Close to her.
It's the whole thing of that you've got all types of moms. You've got all types of dads. Mm-hmm. You've got, you know, the sweetheart moms that, you know, have their mama's boys. You've got your strict moms, but then of course you got to have your mean moms, but they're trying to be cool about it, but sometimes it comes across off not being so cool. And it's just kind of like, you know, maybe it's just the way she is, not that she was trying to, you know be specifically targeting your son. I'm sorry he feels upset, but you got to have that kind of mom out there.
Gotcha. So what you're saying, Lisa, is she shouldn't take this personal, that people just have different types of parenting, and this is her version of parenting, and hers is hers is just different.
Yes.
But what if when it affects the child, like it's upsetting Lucas?
Well, like I've talked to my daughter whenever my sister has upset her, and I'm kind of like, you know, well, if you think about it, so forth, they're not trying to be mean. They're just trying to show you their way.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you calling in, Lisa. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. So, Kelly, when you hear that from Lisa, are you like, all right, that makes sense? Or are you like, no, this person hurt my kid's feelings and I'm still pissed?
No, it when you don't, you know, when you cross a line with a child, like you have to, you need to know the child that you're dealing with. This, you are the adult and they are the child. Okay, that is something that you have to always keep in consideration, that you have to understand that certain children, you know, expect a certain way or will react a certain way to you if you are going to be aggressive toward them. Like, she was aggressive. There's no need for any adult that hasn't known his whole life or anything. It's like she has her sisters, you know, they're the aunts to her children who have been in their child's life for a long time. So maybe they can have come to understand, like, oh, well, that's, you know, that person. But, you know, this woman is newer to our community. My son doesn't know her very well. Mm-hmm. She has no right to behave that way to my son.
Okay, so Kelly, I need you to brace yourself here. Obviously, okay. this is a very specific story with specific details. And I want to let you know that we have the other mom, Samantha, on the line.
Oh, my God, T.
And she wants to share her side of the story, okay?
Uh-huh, okay.
Okay, all right, hold on. Just you stay right there. Hey, Samantha, welcome to the Bird Show. Hi.
Hi, this is Samantha. Hi.
Hi.
I just want to say that I'm actually shocked at the way Kelly is twisting this. But, okay, listen. First of all, I didn't force Lucas to do anything. He was playing. He missed a throw. I gave him some pointers. And like any adult would do, I wasn't yelling. I wasn't berating him. I was just coaching him a little. Because frankly, I've seen the way she babies him. And I thought maybe he could use some encouragement.
Did you call him a quitter?
No, he's not a quitter. But he needed that. That extra edge. You need somebody to, like, sort of coach him, right?
No, you didn't answer. Did you call him a quitter?
I didn't call him a quitter. I didn't. I didn't say that.
Okay.
I just said that he needs to do this. So, and instead of just talking to me like an adult, Kelly decides to text me like I committed some horrible crime. And the Facebook thing? Yeah, that wasn't even about her. It was a general observation about how kids today don't handle adversity well.
You've probably tagged me in that Facebook post.
I did not. And frankly, I think you're overreacting. Maybe if you didn't actually let Lucas experience a little, like if he had a little discomfort in his life, instead of shielding him from everything, he would be more resilient. He would be like a stronger kid.
Okay, this is what I mean. You have no idea how to respect other people's parenting. And you don't get to decide how I raise my kid.
And you don't get to decide how everyone else reacts with the world just because you're overly sensitive. Look, Kelly, I am sorry if your son was upset, but I was just being a responsible adult. The real problem here is that you can't handle anyone having a different approach than you.
Yeah, right. Okay. No, Samantha, the problem is that you don't respect boundaries, so you don't get to decide what's best for my child.
Okay. I think
points were made.
Yes. Words were said, right?
Absolutely.
What I'm hearing as a fellow mom, you guys just have two completely different ways of parenting. And bottom line, that is okay. I think attacking each other isn't going to accomplish anything. And I think Samantha, what I'm hoping you're hearing is that Kelly has a way of parenting, and she would appreciate if you would respect that, and that's going to have to change your interaction with Lucas. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, it is Kelly's child.
Is there even going to be any more interaction between the two of you guys in the neighborhood?
I mean, I don't know. You know, I honestly, I just don't know, because I don't trust her and my kid anymore.
Well, that's rich. I'm the bad guy for trying to be helpful. Unreal. Unreal. Oh, my God.
All right. So I don't know. I just feel like we're just going to have to agree to disagree, and that this is a lesson learned in different styles of parenting. And you guys should never see each other again.
Yeah. I got some popcorn.
I got some popcorn left if y'all want some.
I do ultimately believe that it's okay with them having two different parenting techniques, but at the end of the day, if Kelly doesn't want someone around their child, then she should have the right to not want someone around their child.
Yeah, I don't know much about parenting, but I do think the parent of the child does get the final say.
That's
I'm
going to
go out on a limb and say that, yeah.
The Burt Show.
I don't know what it is about this phase of life that I'm in, but I have a lot of anxiety regarding big adult things in my emails. And I feel like there's been a series of emails I've had to deal with over the last couple of months, last, you know, just phase of my life that have just kind of sent me into a spiral. And so I got one on Saturday that I was expecting. It wasn't a total surprise. But when I saw it, I immediately just got this pit in my stomach and this wave of nausea and these nerves that just overtook my body. My hands were shaking that I had to cancel everything that I was going to do Saturday night because I needed to be on my couch watching Outlander for the seventh time.
Because this email just sent you that much into a tizzy,
mm-hmm.
and it has something to do with adulting?
Yep.
I'm sitting over here thinking, what could it possibly be?
But I know you're a catastrophizer,
uh-huh.
so I'm sure you got up in your head about something.
Uh-huh. This is not a prank, by the way. This is a secret I've been keeping for a hot second. And it's not from a listener. This is purely business.
Purely business. It has something to do with taxes?
It doesn't not have something to do with taxes.
So this is something...
But yes, now that you bring that up, I am really nervous about my taxes.
Something to do with a home.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
What do you...
Oh,
do?
Wait. Do you think you found your home?
I put an offer in on Saturday.
Yay! That's so exciting!
And I spiraled! if you missed me talking about it on air on my social media, back in January, I decided to make the biggest impulse purchase of my life and purchase a home. And so I started looking at some houses that I'd been looking at on realtor.com and was kind of dabbling with the thought of making an investment and then kind of got trigger shy and then decided not to and then decided to randomly to go start looking again. And there's just this place that I've been looking at for close to a year that I was like, let me check that one out. And then there's another place that popped up and I checked that one out and I finally made a decision. I was like, screw it. If I'm going to make any kind of investment, it might as well be one I'm excited about.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the route I'm going down.
So you may, okay, so that this, obviously this email came from your realtor.
So this email came from my realtor just because the adulting thing, like you just don't know how everything works. I mean,
it's annoying.
It's so weird. Like you just decide, okay, I'm going to buy a condo or I'm going to buy a townhouse. I'm just going to do this thing. And then you just have no idea like what that even means. You have to talk to these lenders and you have to send them all your tax information and your W-2s. And then they have to approve you. And then you have to negotiate the APRs or the rates. And then you get an email that has your official offer in it. And there's so many things are like, hey, look through it and then let me know what you think. And I'm looking at it. I'm like, I don't even know what to look for. Like I see the number, I see the other number and then all of this legal jargon. And I like don't know what I don't know.
It's basically like a foreign language.
It's a foreign language. So I send it to my dad and he goes, cool. And I was like, is that it? Like, you don't and my mom called me and I just started breaking down to her because, you know, I'm entering that phase of adulthood where I am starting to feel like an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there was something about this process where I'm like, this is so big and scary that all I want is for my parents to look at me and go, this is right.
Mm-hmm.
Do it. Go for it. And I've been really struggling with the fact that my parents have really been hands off in this process because I'm like, I'm just a girl. I don't know how to do this.
I'm just a baby.
And so my dad, he's on the golf course. He's drinking a beer. He's like, looks good. I'm like, what does that mean? Okay. And my mom doesn't know. I mean, my dad's handled all the finances in our life. So she's like, sounds great. And I'm like, okay, well, this is a lot of legal stuff that I'm just going to sign off on.
Well, that's why you have a realtor.
Yeah.
Like if you were doing this sans realtor, that would make, I could understand that. But, and like, there are some people out there who feel like they can do that, but let's go ahead and give them a plug because they spend money on the station and I endorse them. So ding. So the Justin Landis Group, like that's why you hire a professional because they're going to look through all that stuff and be like, hey, all this looks good to go. I just need your autograph, your John Hancock, and let's get you like your very own place that you own.
I know. Well, I think that's just a credit to Hannah Wehunt, who I've been working with at the Justin Landis Group. I just trust her. So I'm like, you know what? Yeah. I just know that whatever you've written is right. So I'm just going to click these buttons.
Yep.
And I'm just going to girl boss my way into a mortgage. And I'm going to press send because my dad says, cool. My mom said, yeah. And you said it looks good. So
I trust y'all more than I trust me.
That's enough.
Okay, so we got to back up because there's a lot to digest here.
I know. I specifically not talked about it on air, so there is a lot of backstory.
Yeah. So this new place, and obviously you don't want to disclose like your street address.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to even disclose the vicinity of where you're looking, that's fine. But what was it that got you back out there?
Mm-hmm.
And what is it about this particular place that you're like, I'm putting in an offer?
Okay, so why I decided to go through with it. So in January, I was just kind of taking a look at my finances and what I think the next couple years are going to look like. And Atlanta really is starting to feel homey to me. Mm-hmm. I really do love it here. And I think there's a little bit of a trauma response of having my entire personal life fall apart when I moved to Atlanta and feeling so at home anywhere. I would go back to Jacksonville and I would feel kind of stranded and feel very uneasy there for a bunch of different reasons. And then I'd come back to Atlanta and I'd still be kind of getting my sea legs in terms of like making friends and finding a new routine and getting comfortable at work and trying to be good at my job. And it just kind of got to this point where I was like, I didn't expect to feel so uneasy in my personal life. And I think the thought of starting over and not being at home somewhere is very, very scary.
Mm-hmm.
And I think to a point, there's a part of me that's like, I just want a physical manifestation of the feeling that I'm starting to get. And the feeling is feeling at home again. And there's a part of me, despite the fact that I think being in an apartment right now, especially with all the fire alarms going off, it's just starting to not feel homey. And because I'm in a financial place where I can handle a mortgage, and I just want a home to take care of, I was like, I'm just going to go for it. And then I started looking because there were a couple of places that I had been looking at for a while. And I was like, you know, I hope when I look for a home, these places are out there or something that looks like that is out there. And then I was like, well, instead of waiting for a place that looks like that, like, why don't I just go get that place? So I started looking at some homes and then I got a little trigger shy because it's really scary to make such a big financial thing on your own.
It's a huge responsibility.
It's a huge responsibility. And I just never thought.
It's like the pinnacle of adulting besides having a kid.
Dude, it is. I just didn't think I would do this on my own. I think that's another thing too that I've had to deal with. And I think you, as a woman, you have to have that conversation with, I'm going to commit to this place for the next 5 years. And there's a conversation that you have to have with yourself where it's like, okay, am I accepting the fact that I'm making this purchase knowing that like no one is coming? Like,
no. And I'm actually glad it's happening this way because I was the same age as you when I got my first place. I did it solo. It's so empowering. And I really think it's going to have an effect on you that's going to be so positive.
I think so too. Because I've talked to a lot of girls in my circle and I'm like, have you thought about purchasing a home? Like, I know you're financially capable. And they always kind of say the same thing that I said to myself for years. It's like, well, I want to buy a place with my boyfriend or I want to buy a place with my husband. And I had to sit down with myself and go, okay, you said this 3 years ago, no one is here, you know? So am I going to hold out on this thing that could be really good for me financially or just mentally because I think somebody is coming? So anyway, I know this is going on really, really long, but I went to go look at a couple of places. And I think the cool thing about both the places that I was deciding between or the three places I was deciding between is they were all owned by really cool independent women.
Nice.
I Googled them. I stalked them. And I was like,
you're stalking the previous owner.
I was stalking them. I had to find out what the situation was. And I was just like, I feel so cool that I'm amongst this group of women that live on their own, that bought these places on their own. And I feel like so empowered that I'm amongst that group of women that can handle this responsibility. So I put in an offer. It has not been accepted yet. So I'll probably know more tomorrow.
But the offer's out there.
Congratulations. The horrors persist, but so do I.
The Burt Show.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute it's carbs are bad, and then the next it's, no, actually carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now. Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you. They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's F-O-R. HERS.com/Burt. ForHers.com/Burt. Waitlist by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit ForHers.com.
Joe. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood, man. With Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
I'm uncomfortable.
You're uncomfortable. I'm his mother. And I have to submit that to Crystal today as his at bat music.
I'm curious. Do you have, what was the second one? If we were going to do the second option,
the second one was Moe's.
Oh,
it's Jimmy.
Oh, okay. We love a Jimmy.
Spoken like a true single woman.
It was two Jimmys in mine. I mean,
all right.
Okay, back to the Oscars.
Yes. Right.
Pivot. Okay, so last night, Adrian Brody and Halle Berry actually recreated an iconic moment that went down during the 2003 Oscars. So about 22 years ago, when Adrian Brody won his first Oscar, Halle Berry was the one presenting it to him. And I guess he was just so thrilled and so overtaken by the fact that he won this massive award, he grabs her and gives her a big old kiss. So last night, during an interview with Access Hollywood, Adrian Brody is in the middle of doing his thing. He's talking about his movie. And then Halle Berry swoops in from behind, grabs this guy, and goes in for the kiss.
A
hard kiss. Mm-hmm. And he was holding on, too. He was grabbing onto her.
Wasn't his wife standing right there?
His
right
girlfriend.
There. Girlfriend?
His girlfriend was there the whole night. And I was like, is she in on the joke? Did they plan this?
Well, when Halle Berry walked up, she looked at the girlfriend and I think preemptively said, like, something along the lines, I'm paraphrasing, I'm sorry, but I got to do this or something.
She said, I'm sorry, I got to do it.
That's what she said?
Yep.
Oh,
and she said her name, too.
Oh, she did?
Uh-huh.
No.
Called her by her name and said, I got to do it. And then just planted one on him.
All right, how do we feel about this? Let's be honest. Like, if you're the girlfriend, obviously it's a shtick and there is no romantic feelings behind it. However, it's Halle freaking Berry. She's one of the most beautiful women in the world. And she just came and not just like smooched your husband, but like passionately kissed your husband.
I am immediately kissing him seconds after so I can say I've kissed Halle Berry. Or I've got her on my lips at least.
Or you're consensually kissing Halle Berry.
Yes.
You're like, you know, if you get to kiss him, I get to kiss you too. It's only fair. Even Stevens, please.
All right, Mo, you're standing there. You're being interviewed on the red carpet. And Rihanna comes up and looks at your lady and says, I'm sorry, but I got to do this. And she plants the biggest kiss on you. Now, there is history there, but it was history before she even got to the, she was even invited to the party. What kind of conversation are you and your lady having as you walk into the Oscars?
I'm asking, how was it? And I'm offended if Rihanna don't kiss me too. I would feel away. I think I don't know how mad I would be because it's Halle Berry. I'll admit that I think that takes some of the steam out of how upset I would be. But I think if anybody had that level of confidence to look at me and not even ask, just to say, I'm sorry, but I just have to kiss your wife. Yeah, we would have a problem.
I feel like the opinions here are showing the big difference between how men and women feel about this situation. Because wasn't it a couple of months ago we were talking about Megan Good and Jonathan Majors and just that one interaction with Michael Ealy where like he just gave her a hug and everyone thought that Jonathan Majors was taking it really personally. And that was just off of a hug or a small interaction. This is Halle Berry planting one on Adrian Brody. And I feel like no one's really taking it personally because I feel like women kind of know she didn't mean anything by it.
So is this a thing where we think men are more territorial than women are?
I think so.
Clearly. Yeah, I don't mind at all.
Do you guys remember that moment between Oscar Isaac and Jessica Chastain on the red carpet? I think it was like at Cannes or something where he's like got his arm around her and looking lovingly into her eyes. Like they look like a legit couple. Mm-hmm. That would bother me 1,000 times more than Halle Berry planting that smacker on my husband.
Because it's a joke. It's a joke.
Yeah, and the other one feels like, oh, is there something that you've got a connection, and that worries more than a physical kiss.
So let me ask this. As women, you say it's a joke that she does it, right?
Yeah.
What if she does it the same exact way, but you weren't there? You have to hear about it now. Would that change?
I actually am. I'm more apt to accept the joke if I am there. But if I am not there,
not so funny, huh?
Then it's not.
I think if I got a text from my man's being like, hey, just letting you know this is going to pop up on TikTok or X, it wouldn't bother me that much as long as I got a heads up. But if I hear about it from Access Hollywood, then we're going to have a problem.
No. So it's all the way he handles it. So I'm not there. She comes up and does that. And if he goes full stop,
I got to text my girlfriend and give her a heads up that this just happened and she's going to see it. And that's how he handled it in the interview, making sure that I am still present without being present. We got ourselves a little bit of wiggle room.
So many rules.
I get it. People are also talking about Adrian Brody for a completely different reason, and it has everything to do with his very long Oscars acceptance speech.
So, how long was this puppy again?
It was like 5 minutes. It was a long, long time. I mean, I think you're actually only supposed to talk for like 20 seconds, but nobody stops at 20 seconds. And so he's accepting his award for Best Actor, and this is the second time he's won this award. And so when they started playing the wrap-up music, because this is like, I think, the final award of the night, he's like, no, like, let me finish.
Please, I'm wrapping up. I will wrap up. Please turn the music off. I've done this before. Thank you. It's not my first rodeo, but I will be brief.
And he wasn't brief. So because of the movie he won for, because this movie, if I remember correctly, The Brutalist, and it's about anti-Semitism and has to revolve around the World War. He had a beautiful remarks to make about hate and anti-Semitism and standing up to hate when you see it. He was all over the place in his speech. I hate how long it took to get to that great message. I do think he could have, like, made it more concise.
Yeah, just like The Brutalist, it should have been about an hour shorter, and there should have been an intermission. All right, Sabrina Carpenter responded to her Brits performance controversy in 6 words. I'm going to tell you how she's fighting against the UK Karens on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.